How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Tom, would you like to pod?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Susie Ruffle. I mean, Tom Allen.
You might notice immediately how good Tom's voice sounds today. I just mentioned the timbre of his voice.
And I said, I haven't heard the word timbre for a while.
Since GCSE music?
Oh, yes. It is a good one from GCSE music, which actually I never did.
What?
But I did do A-level. Go figure.
Go figure.
Yes, I can harmonise a Bach chorale, ladies and gentlemen, at the drop of a hat. But I don't know anything about...
Who's Bach chorale?
Bach chorale is a neighbour of my grandmother. And Bach chorale would be a good name for a character, wouldn't it?
I like it. I don't know what a Bach chorale is.
He seemed to write lots of them. Basically, it's sort of a four-part harmony, four-part choir. I did that with my hands.
Like a barbershop? Quartet.
Like a barbershop quartet in the 17th century, yeah.
Tom, why are they called barbershop quartets? Do you know? That feels like something you might know.
I don't know. It's something American, I think.
Do you want to make something up? Do you want to make up a fact quickly?
Yes, it was used in the southern states of America to drum up business for barbers.
Would you like a haircut? Would you like a haircut?
Or maybe it'll probably be something about like they were singers, but they couldn't get work as singers, so they became...
Barbers.
Or the barbers didn't get paid, and so they had a job as singers.
I know some actors that became barbers because they couldn't get any work.
Never be able to work as a barber though, will you?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Unless they know you. Because you just Bick the Bonce, don't you? Which is the name of your next book.
Bick the Bonce. Yes, I do. You know what? And I used to cut my head, but now I don't.
We're constantly learning, aren't we?
We're all learning.
I remember when I met you had all those plasters all over your head.
It was a nightmare. I was wearing a wig of elastoplast.
Or like you'd just been in like an accident and you had...
Oh, yes. Yes, bleak, but yes.
A bit too bleak, actually. So sorry. I sort of meant like, you know, like a mummy.
Oh, yes, I did.
That was what I was
like
thinking.
Like Tutankhamun, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Talking of accidents, Tom, there's a terrible accident in Call the Midwife this week. Series finale, wasn't it?
It was the series finale. I understand, but I was not watching. So there was a big accident. What happened?
There was a car crash, Tom.
Oh, no.
I thought Dr. Tina Turner was going to die, but she didn't.
Oh no, stayed alive.
So I'm not in the next series. The phone's still not rung, that's what I'm saying.
You know what, Suze, I sometimes think, how much would it be to, like, you know, mock up a sort of linoleum NHS studio? You know,
I don't think it'd be that much. I also think they shoot it at Elstree, and I'm occasionally there, and I wonder if I just popped on some 60s clothing.
Just nip up there, Suze, they'd love to see you.
Would they? Or would they be like, excuse me, can you please get offset?
Sorry, what are you doing? Where do they do it at Elstree then?
I don't know, somewhere near there, I think.
Where they do Strictly in that big one?
Oh, no, I think they have like a... I've just heard it's at Elstree, I might be lying.
No, it probably is.
I think they have like a mock-up, like, road.
Oh, like where they do the crown at the back there, there's a mock-up of Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
Oh, how interesting.
Buckingham Palace on the flats.
Yeah. Oh, so there's a car crash outside.
No, it wasn't a car crash, Tom. It was a train crash, so a lot worse.
A train crash?
Yeah, someone had a heart attack whilst they were driving a train.
Oh, I thought they have they're called like a dead man's brake, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Tom, I'm not sure if they existed in the 60s. And also, like, don't fuck with the format. It's perfect.
Yeah, okay, don't question it. Where does the train go near Poplar?
Poplar? Yeah. I think they were coming back from Chelmsford.
What were they doing out there?
Oh, they had to go to I think they were going to... So, Dr. Turner...
Dr. Tina Turner.
Dr. Tina Turner, Sister Julienne, and the new nurse, who's Irish, who I like. They were all going to a... what's it called when people that have proper jobs go for, like, meetings with other people to, like, learn stuff? Conference.
Like an away day.
Away day. I think to learn about the mini pill, which I think is what they called it at the time, the mini pill.
Oh, that's a good idea. What was that? Did you take it in a mini?
You took it in a mini and it stopped you getting knocked up.
Oh, that's nice. Did you wear a mini skirt? Well,
I imagine a lot of people did. Yeah.
I bet they did. So you're going to learn about the mini pill?
Yeah, I think so.
And Dr. Turner was probably speaking very wisely.
Earnestly.
And slowly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's so important that women can finally have responsibility for their own...
Futures.
Yeah,
futures, damn it.
Yes, then he'd get a bit annoyed about something, yes.
He would get probably quite cross, I'd say, yeah.
And then, like, his wife, what's she called? Mrs. Mary MacDonald.
Well, Mrs. Turner, isn't it? Come on,
Mrs.
Tom,
Turner.
It's not that hard.
Is it Mary? Mary Turner?
I don't think it's Mary. What is her
name? Oh, no. Oh.
Yeah, she's
Dr.
Scottish.
Dr. Turner can't see you today, I'm afraid. Is she actually Scottish in real life?
I don't know. Maybe if she's listening, do get in touch. You know the PO box?
I bet she does listen. I bet she looks really different as well.
Yeah, so, well, take off those glasses. She's a new woman.
I bet. I can't wait for that episode when she does that, lets her hair down. Oh, don't Dr. Turner look at me like that. Have they adopted... they've adopted children, haven't they?
They have. Yes, they have. They've adopted May.
May. But they haven't... The boy is from his previous marriage.
The boy's from his previous marriage, and they have two other children, and they had an adopted daughter. They have a beautiful sort of...
There's four kids.
Four kids. But Timothy's a lot older. He's away at medical school.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was helping out with getting a wheelchair up the stairs the last episode I saw.
Oh, yeah, he does a bit of that.
Oh, I thought that's a bit unlikely, isn't it? Getting a wheelchair up, like, two stories on stairs.
Tom, what do you think happened before the stand of stair lift?
Well, I don't know, but I just thought...
Maybe a shoulder and carry
him up. How strong is this man supposed to be? He's only 18. And he's not broad. He's like Dr. Turner, he's not broad.
Look, Tom, that's not something that I've thought an awful lot about, how strong Timothy is.
Timothy, that's true, that's his name. Dr. Turner was on the train back from Chelmsford when it happened. Is that what
Can
she
you
said
stop when... this? Because if you end up getting a part as the new doctor, I will be livid.
Oh my goodness, can you imagine if I replaced him? Doctor who? I'd be Doctor what?
How's your week been, love?
Fine. I'm sorry, I was just thinking about Saint... Are they still trying to sell Saint Nanutta's or whatever it's called?
It's called Nanutta's House, and no, luckily they've found someone that's investing in it.
What, investing in a nunnery? What sort of return are they going to get on that?
Well, Tom, the sisters helped save his son.
Oh, he's please, that's not how investment works. That's not how investment works.
Tom, you're also not in banking, so I don't trust you.
Whoever heard of it, like, oh, we're going to put your pension... Where are you going to put my pension? Oh, into a convent. Like, three old nuns. They don't
it's
even have
more
the midwives
than
there anymore.
Yeah, they do. They live there, Tom.
What, all
they
the
all live at
Nanutta's.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Nurse Crane does and a couple of others, but some people have got married and moved away.
Okay.
The listeners would be delighted to hear that it's now finished until next Christmas, so they won't have to hear me
talk
about it.
Listeners, write on the comments. Have you not seen
I love
that?
How much they talk about Kill the Midwife.
They want to know more Kill the Midwife spoilers. They love
it. Well, the thing is that the BBC do podcasts for some of their big shows. They had one about I May Destroy You. They had one about the Vicky McClure one. What was that called? That everyone loved. It was really good. AC12. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
People are all saying it at home. It's fine. They had podcasts about those, but they don't have a call. Obsessed With. That's what it's called. Obsessed With. Thank you, producer Emma. Obsessed With. Line of Duty. Obsessed With. But I want to do Obsessed With Call the Midwife, but I don't know that the demographic that watches Call the Midwife know how to download a podcast.
Well, and also they're already listening to this, so we don't need to worry about that.
There's too much crossover.
The people who would download a podcast and watch Kill the Midwife are already here.
We're all here together.
Everybody who needs to be here is here. So don't worry about it, Suze.
Okay,
don't
I'll
worry
stop
about
worrying.
Is there a resolve on the train situation?
Well, look, skip on 15 seconds if you don't, maybe 30, if you don't want to know. Everyone was all right in the end.
Of course they were.
A couple of people died, but, you know, not big characters.
No one with a major storyline.
No one that's in it every week. But I do think the train. I do think that travel crash is a sad. I want to make that very clear.
Please, Susie, I can't believe you've made light of it. Also, no, but it's no different. But do you remember when in Coronation Street and the tram came off the top? Crashed into the cabin.
Yeah, that was insane.
That was a big day, wasn't it?
Huge.
So there's no difference. Were they steam trains back then, or were they all electric at that point?
I think they were probably electric by that point, Tom. I mean, I should find out more, because I don't know if you're across my train content, but I'm absolutely living on the trains at the moment, Tom.
Oh, living for the trains. Yeah.
Oh, honestly.
You are so good at covering
the train
networks.
But when do you know when you've when something's not funny anymore and it's just funny to you?
That's the great joy of it, because, you know... it'll be for you.
It's just for me.
No, but just everything. We should do everything for ourselves, and
that's
then other
true.
People will come. Like I was talking
that's
about
true.
Job of the midwife. People come. People
build
come.
It, and they will come.
Build it, and they will come. Exactly that. Exactly.
Are you wearing a powder blue? Would you say, Tom?
Yes, I've just got it back from Mum.
Did your mum borrow it?
Not exactly. I got a stain down it. I think it was tomato. As soon as I wear a white colour, Suze, it's like a magnet to staining vegetables. Tomatoes, beetroots, that sort of thing. They gravitate towards me. If I wear a dark colour, I never spill a thing. Light colour, I'm like, I don't know what. Just it's
Calamity
all
Jane.
I'm like Calamity Jane in the clothing stakes. And this day was no different. I put Vanish on it. Other stain removers are available. Popped it in the washing machine, no good. Did it again, no good. And then I soaked it.
Nothing.
And then I had to give it to Mum, and she does some sort of magic.
Witchcraft,
I can only imagine. It's got the stain out. But I daresn't wear it out. I just slung it on quickly because Rob Beckett came round for a cup of coffee.
Oh, did he now?
And he did arrive early. He talks about me on his podcast. I said 1:30 for a coffee. He gets round at like 23 minutes past. Well, I'm still in the shower at that time.
Well, that's the thing, Tom. You do shower moments before people come round.
I run a tight ship.
Is it because you secretly want to be caught in the nerd?
There's that as well. Yeah, oh, Rob. I didn't know you were... Oh, you've arrived early. You'd have to break into my house. Yeah. To do that. But I know. I'm never on time, never get organised.
No, you are on time, but you're on time like on the button.
Yeah, well, like a train.
Like bang on the time.
Like a train. Yeah. Oh, I don't trust those new electric trains, Dr. Turner. I bet his wife said that, didn't
she? Why do you do it in such a flirty way?
Because that's the only type of Scottish accent I can do, a slightly, slightly overtly sexualised Morningside housewife.
Yeah, that's
who it
is.
Which is not really her accent at all.
Is that how you flirt in real life?
Yes, always with a Morningside accent.
Yeah, I thought
hello
so.
There. How are you, Hen?
God, he's different on the telly.
Such an insulting accent. Sorry to anybody from, well, anywhere listening. You know, oh, Hen, no, I couldn't possibly, Dr. Turner. Oh, I'll just pop myself on the bench, shall I? She didn't say that. She never said that.
She wouldn't say that sort of thing, Tom.
She's
absolutely
not.
She's
very polite. She was a nun for a long time.
Well, that's the thing, Tom.
So she got the hots for him.
That's the thing. And I wonder how often that happens with nuns.
Well, not none.
Not none. There you go. And that's what she should call her autobiography.
Not a nun. Yeah, not...
Not none.
Not
none. Not nartus house. No, it doesn't work. Don't worry.
Nanartus. Is that where it comes from? Nanartus? Nanartus.
I don't think so. I think it's Nanartus.
Oh.
You know that I got the board game for Christmas from Alice?
Yeah, how's that going? Have you been playing every day?
Every single day, yeah. But you have to... You pick up a card and you have to say, Nanartus house, midwife speaking. But my mum she cannot get Nanartus right for love nor money.
No one can.
Which
Nanartus.
Then became hilarious. You've got to go around the board and you get past a certain thing and that means you've delivered a baby and then you get given a little baby token.
It's a lovely concept. Have you thought about playing it on that Snatch or whatever it's called?
Snatch? Is that not what's it called, what people call their bits?
Oh, that is though that thing online, Twitch. Yeah,
play it, Snatch.
Pop it on your snap.
That is such a different thing. Isn't that like a colloquialism for a woman's vagina?
Oh, but I think anything can be a colloquialism for a sexual organ, don't you think, Suze?
Well, I guess so.
Oh, you could do it with clutch purse.
Well, yeah, but that's an obvious one.
Yes, you're right. Okay, I'm trying.
She's
to
having remember. Trouble with her clutch purse.
Yeah, that's obvious, isn't it? Yeah, fitted wardrobes. I just saw my fitted wardrobes.
Don't wait, is it?
Yeah.
Tom, what did you think about that man's penis freezing?
What? What's happened?
You haven't heard about this?
Did he leave it out at night?
There was a Finnish skier who was at the Winter Olympics.
Oh no!
His penis got frozen, Tom.
His Finnish crispy pancakes.
His. Yeah, exactly that.
No.
Yeah.
What, froze off, snapped off, or what?
No, it didn't. No, they had to thaw it. Can you imagine how painful that was?
Oh, my goodness. What did they do? Leave it on a Pyrex plate overnight?
Well, I think they popped it in the microwave.
I saw a thing being advertised. It's like a chopping board that you can... It speeds up the thawing process. It's available.
I thought you were talking about something for your willy then, and I was
so
confused.
You can use it for that. You can use it for sausages, so I don't see why you can't use it for that.
Well, just pop your willy on. This is getting very crude. This is not our taste.
Sorry, everybody. But what? So this... He was a skier? What was he?
Yeah, I'm just going to find the story, Tom, so I get it right.
You think he'd be used to the cold? They get it.
Well, yeah, or you'd think he'd have on some really good, like, thermal undies, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, and industrial salopettes.
Well, you'd think so. So, basically, so his name is Remy Lindholm. I'm not sure how thrilled he is that everyone knows.
Remy Lindholm does sound like a name one might give one's penis.
How's your Remy Lindholm?
He's got a problem with his Remy Lindholm.
Remy Lindholm,
and
she's got a problem with her, what was it, clutch purse?
Clutch purse, fitted wardrobe.
Her leather clutch purse.
Her snatch, her twitch.
So the men's 50 kilometres mass start skiing race at the Beijing Games was shortened to 30k, but that didn't help.
But it was
Finland's,
for him.
Well, yes, didn't help Finland's Remy Lindholm, who needed a heat pack at the end of the race to thaw out a particularly sensitive body part.
Oh, no. It could have been his ego.
Well, I mean...
Wow. I wonder if...
I mean, that's the... That's the the next Frozen movie sorted, isn't it?
Well, maybe he just needed to be saved by an act of true love.
Well, that's the thing. Someone came towards him with a heat pad.
Well, you can call it what you like, can't you? There's another name.
Pop it in a heat pad, she'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, she had a terrible problem with a heat pad. Yes. Oh, that is... Oh, let it go. Well, thank goodness he didn't.
Well, yeah, that's
the thing. That mountain. Got caught on a tree.
Well, yeah, must have been so painful.
50 kiloms, yes.
Yeah, that's a long way, isn't it?
That's a long way to get...
That's like my house to Brighton, it's too far.
That's a long way to get your Remy Lindholm frozen off, yes.
I was going to say, would you like some audience correspondence?
I would love that, actually, Suze. What have people been saying?
So people got involved about the garden centres we were talking about last week.
Ruxley.
That's exactly right. And Sarah Henderson got in touch to let you know.
Sorry, Mrs. Henderson.
Hello, Tom and Susie. I'm a big fan of the podcast and introduced it to my German friend when I was in Berlin a couple of years ago.
Oh, hello, wie geht's?
Hello. As a native Eltham resident, I'm always delighted to hear you reference local spots. And the episode where you recorded as you walked around John Lewis was particularly good, given by sheer coincidence, I was walking around the same John Lewis when listening. Can you imagine?
Wow, an audio-described version of a John Lewis trip.
That you can then...
Actually our worst episode. I thought we lost most of our listeners on that episode.
Well, listen, Sarah was there and she was hungry for more.
She was hungry.
I wanted to ask if the garden centre Tom referenced in the last episode was Ruxley Manor.
It is. It's absolutely Ruxley.
It was the preferred garden centre for my family, and we've eaten many a pizza in the restaurant before, perusing plants, fish and reptiles.
I did not like the reptile section.
No, it's not your thing, is it, Tom?
Not
my dad also grumbles about the price of the food in the farm shops, but still buys a cheeky roll of cheese regardless.
Oh,
sincerely, Sarah.
It's a very... Yeah, it is an expensive farm shop there. What we found when we went there is we ordered a hot chocolate on the app, which you had to do at that time.
What?
And then the woman came over with a mop in her hand and said, "What are you waiting for?" And we said, "We've just ordered a hot chocolate." And she said, "Oh no, we're closed." But they'd taken the money, so then they had to refund it. Oh, it was a real palaver.
Oh,
and I just thought, can you just give us a hot chocolate? I mean, the lights are still on.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Sounds
awful.
Yeah. You put me off a bit.
Yeah, I bet. Did you, if you have a hot chocolate, would you go for like the full whack with like the cream
with the
and the... Yeah, all top. That on top. And then maybe some... Like, I've had one before that they put a flake in, which felt excessive.
Yeah, that is a lot, isn't it? But I do like that. But I do find, actually, sometimes just a good quality hot chocolate on its own is sufficient.
Yeah, it's nice. Would you ever have hot chocolate indoors, Tom?
I did go through a phase of doing them in the winter, actually. But then my family started demanding them because, of course, I've got the coffee machine. You know, I've got a steam wand. I've got a steam wand, yeah.
That's another great euphemism. That's what he needed, a steam wand.
He needed a steam wand. But it was a steam wand when it defrosted. I don't know.
This one's from Alice True, which is sort of what Scottish people call... what your Morningside housewife might call trousers.
An Alice True?
Just a True.
Oh, where's your... Oh, that gorgeous Alice Trues she had on, Dr. Turner. I don't know why she still calls her husband.
I like it. His title.
Oh, Timothy, are you all right? I'm worried about you at medical school. This sort of thing she says, isn't it?
That would be the sort of thing, yeah. She'd be worrying, yeah. I'd say anxiety is a big part of the character.
Are you having a lot of vegetables? Why didn't you
take that sort of carry on? Yeah. Yes, Tom, yes, you're exactly right.
I was just in a reverie there, yes.
So Alice True is saying that the title is Thanks and a Throwback to Slugs.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Dear Susie and Tom, firstly, I'd like to say a huge thank you for your podcast. Like many listeners, I found your podcast in an incredibly difficult time of life, a job from hell, and having your witty and loving friendship in my ear on my darkest days made me able to get through it. Ooh. Fortunately, that chapter of my life ended a while ago, so your podcast...
What, listen to a podcast?
I think she means her job, Tom. Her job.
Okay.
And so your podcast just pops up as a weekly treat while I'm pottering around the house. And thanks to you, I now know I need to hang up my bath mat. I'm still working on it, but we're all human, right?
Well,
Owner Alice. This is a bit of a throwback email, but I work as a gardener in Bromley, no less.
Alice, what are you talking about? Clang.
And I have several approaches to slug deterring.
Oh,
which Tom might find useful.
I would love to know this. What are your thoughts? Because it's like Glastonbury in my garden when the slugs come out.
One, beer traps. Possibly the kindest way to commit mass slaughter of slugs. All you need to do is pour some beer in a low container, such as a takeaway tub or similar, and place them on the ground in the area populated with slugs. They will be drawn in by the smell of beer, pop in for a quick drink, and then drown. Depending on the size of your garden and the scale of the problem, you may need several of these.
Well,
that's
the first option. Brag about my... No, actually, it's a very average-sized garden.
I think it's quite a big garden for London.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. I'm having the vegetable patch fitted soon. Thank you. Unless the frost gets it.
Of course. So the second one is nematodes.
Nematodes. I think that's what I say at the end of a yoga class.
It's very similar. These are microorganisms which act as parasites for specific pests. They are generally applied by mixing in the nematode. I think that's what it is. Nematode paste into a set amount of water and applying on the soil via a watering can. They then somehow get into the slugs and effectively kill them. They're very effective in biological control methods for various pests, so make sure you get the one for slugs.
Oh, not the one for humans.
Not the one for humans.
Okay, that sounds very technical, that one.
Okay, here we go. Here's the one that she thinks is the best. Okay. Biodiversity.
That sounds like the sort of thing we should all be doing, doesn't it?
We should all be doing that. We should all be doing more of that. My favourite method is just to improve the biodiversity of your garden by encouraging a wide range of beneficial organisms. Think about adding perhaps a bird table bird bath to encourage birds, a small pond to encourage frogs. I'd love you to have a pond, Tom. You could put a pond in where the sunken and trampoline is.
Well, I did think about that. Two things I'm worried about. If you get newts there, then you can't get rid of it because they're protected.
right. And, who are they protected by?
The Newt King.
The Newt King. Sure.
I think. And then no, that's it really. But yeah, it would be quite nice to have a bit of.
Oh, it would be a bad thing to fall into drunk.
Yeah, especially if I still thought the trampoline was there.
Yes, so that would be how you break your legs.
Yes, and drown like a slug. It would be like my
in a beer.
I'd fill it with beer. Yeah.
Did you think from reading Roald Dahl books as a child that newts would come up a lot more in your adulthood?
So much more. I barely see them. What are they, little tadpoles?
I don't know, like little tadpole things. Who knows?
Hardly see them.
Hardly see them. No, I don't know him. A small pond to encourage frogs, or providing a habitat for hedgehogs.
Hedgehogs.
Such as a suitable pile of sticks and logs for a cosy home, ensuring they are adequate. hedgehog thoroughfares. If you had solid fences, hedgehogs benefit from low-cut holes in fences so they can travel around the garden. You can also include wildlife-friendly planting to encourage birds into your garden.
Oh yes, well, I'm going to put in some wildflowers, actually, Alice. Thank you for saying that. I'm going to do that.
I love hedgehogs. They're so adorable.
I would love to have a hedgehog in my garden, but I'm worried, what about snakes?
I don't what? Do you think that a hedgehog would encourage a snake?
No, but I just think, what about sticks and stuff and compost heaps? Do they sometimes like it in there? I'm a bit anxious.
I don't think there are that many snakes in the Chislehurst area that are looking for somewhere to hang.
Okay, okay. Good.
But I might be wrong. If there's any snakes listening, do let us know.
Do let us know.
Right in. Those are the three options that can help sort out your slug problem. If Tom needs any help in the garden, do get in touch. Thank you so much for all your work, including the podcast. My colleague and I have been listening to Tom's book whilst at work, and it's given us so much joy. I cannot tell you both how important your podcast and work has been to me over these past few years, and I hope to catch you both at a show soon. So grateful for you sharing your lives with us listeners and putting in time to entertain and inform. Mm. I'm not sure how much informing we're doing, Alice, I just told a story about a frozen dick.
But it was informative
and it was good to be across it.
So that's what she said.
I thought there might be something like that happening. Yes. Apologies for this long email, but I do hope it has been helpful. It has.
Alice,
all
no
the
question.
Best from a like-minded friend and gardener, Alice. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you.
Maybe Alice should nip round to your garden.
Well, I would like to see her do her best with my slugs. I haven't seen any for a while. Maybe they're more of a summer thing. But I am thinking about getting the vegetable patch installed. And I think that is going to be a real issue, actually. So I'm going to put lots of beer traps out.
That's a good idea, Tom.
And I have got a bird feeder. So I'm going to top that up.
So I can pop round and have dinner?
So for all the birds.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one's from Nick Dawkes. Dear wonderful like-minded friends, Tom and Susie, just a quick shout out to say thanks to the shout out from Penny Crayon last week. Tom. Do you remember Penny? We did a shout out for her last week.
Yes.
We called her Penny Crayon.
Yes, and we relived the wonderful adventures of Penny. And Penny
exactly.
Yeah.
Now Nick's got in touch to thank Penny for thanking him. It's
Penny.
A very like-minded friend thing to do, I'd say.
Very like-minded friend thing to do. Very on brand. Yes, thank you, Nick. We shall be sending you a thank you note for this.
Thank you notes in the face. An avid listener also, I was late listening to last week's podcast and hadn't heard it. Oh. However, we were drunk on Saturday night with the aforementioned Penny, who announced it in the middle of the pod, cue audible gasps of glee and imaginary clutching of pearls.
Yes.
As soon as I awoke on Sunday afternoon, if you partied till 5 a.m, you still need your 8 hours. I ran down the stairs to listen like a kid at Christmas. You guys have become the cornerstone of our friendships. We often discuss your shenanigans over cups of tea and laughter, and you've become part of our friendships, which is odd as we don't know you and it makes us sound like stalkers.
No.
As a gay man in his 40s, I've had my share of ups and downs, and if we're truly lucky in life not all of us have been so lucky.
Not to make light of your life.
Tom, come on.
Sadness.
Come on, please.
Please.
I think he was talking about emotional rather than the dirty
physical
things that you're thinking of.
Of course, Nick.
If we're truly lucky in life, we have friends like Penny, who is there for the good times and the bad times. As a friend, Penny is warm, funny, caring and witty, and she doesn't suffer fools gladly. But you know if Penny's your friend, she's always got your back. As a bunch of aging gays, it's nice to have a friend who knew you then, knows you now, and will be there for the years to come. I just wanted to say thanks for the shout out, and to Penny and for all of our friends in the community who are allies. Sometimes you find people in your life who you know will be there forever, and friendship is truly one of the most important things. Anyway, I'm at my desk at work, and I really should actually do some work.
No, Nick.
I wanted to say thanks for the fun and laughter you guys bring every week and keep up the good work. P.S. My bath mat stays on the floor, yet I feel dirty and sinful confessing this.
Bet you do, Nick. Well, you're a glutton for punishment. Don't come crying to us.
When you've got scabies on the feet.
Oh, something dreadful like that. Or a mark on your floor. Maybe your linoleum, your bathroom linoleum will become, I don't know, corroded with damp. Just think about that, okay? I wonder if Penny Farthing will be around for that, you know?
Just make Penny sure Farthing, that. Of course.
Penny Farthing. You do you. You do you.
You do you. Okay, we have one more from Jasmine, and this is another person getting in touch because they listen in America, Tom, if you can imagine
Jasmine,
such a thing.
Hello.
Jasmine. Hi, Susie and Tom. I'm a like-minded friend in the US. I found the pod only a month or two ago and I've been powering through the episodes. I love the pair of you so much and the wonderful chemistry you have. I'm envious of your effortless conversation as I share your interests, but don't really know anyone, IRL, I think that means in real life, who does.
Oh, that's what we're here for.
They're exactly that. They are like casual walks in the countryside without a GPS, sat nav to you. I love all the digressions and the endless speculations about the minutiae. I listen at work with my headphones, so I'm sure people wandering past are wondering why I'm repeating certain words over and over again. Answers to your casual queries. In my otherwise silent office.
Ruxley Manor.
Exactly. E.g., Kathy Najambi, the actress who plays the third witch in Hocus Pocus. That must have happened in some episode.
That must have happened at one point, yes.
I also enjoy hearing stories repeated, like my absolute favourite cashmere sweater incident. That was a long time ago when I bought cashmere. Do you remember,
yes,
Tom?
I remember those heady days, yes.
Those heady days of cashmere.
Now you've got the heating on full time. You don't need it.
That's the thing. Now I've just got acrylic. I just moved to a new city after a decade spent in Philadelphia.
Oh, I've been there myself, actually.
What did you think of
my aunt used to work at Montgomery, McCracken, Walker and Rhodes. She used to work.
What was that?
It was a law firm in Philadelphia.
What was it called again?
Montgomery, McCracken, Walker and Rhodes. But she had a sort of mid-Atlantic, so she's like, Montgomery, McCracken, Walker and Rhodes. Sort of sounded
American.
She
was American.
American and English at the same time. She moved to America, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your family travel, don't they?
Yeah, always on the run.
Always on the goddamn run. I don't really have a wide social circle here, so I feel a bit isolated, which I enjoy most of the time. I felt I had committed everything in my past life, so I needed a whole reset. I turned 41 this year, and even though I orchestrated all this change, I'm still shocked by it occasionally. Well, that's enough of me spilling my guts to a stranger. All of this is to say thank you for keeping the pod going. It might seem like nonsense at times to you, but some people like me need to know that relationships like yours exist. Lots of love, Jasmine.
Jasmine, that's such a lovely heartfelt message. And, you know, I can be quite a solo person at times, you know, and I think it's quite nice to it's nice to have your own company sometimes, and nice to know, like,
nice that you can be on your own. I think that's exactly it.
Yes, I think that, because my thing is I like to have my own company, but in the knowledge that I can easily see other people. Do you know what I mean?
I like that. But I think that, so for a long time I was a real serial monogamist, she says, as a married woman. But
she just always had the same cereal. That's what she means.
Yes, exactly. It's balance, actually. That's my favourite, Tom, if you're interested. But I think I didn't feel like I could be by myself. And I did have about, before I met Alice, I had about sort of maybe 8 months where I was single. And I think I really needed that. And I know 8 months doesn't sound like a lot to some people, but honestly, I'd jump from relationship to relationship. It was a long time for me. But it's good to remind yourself that you can just be by yourself.
Yeah, I think it shows great strength. And
also, like, going somewhere to start a new life. That's really impressive, Jasmine.
Was Jasmine from the UK originally and she moved there, do we know?
No, I think she's...
She's from Philadelphia.
I think she may be from Philadelphia. She doesn't Philadelphia say born Jasmine, and raised. Get in touch. Philly.
Yes, she lives and breathes this Philadelphia freedom.
What is a Philly steak? Do you know?
Yes. It's because when I went there, you go to the... What's the name of that market?
Is it Philadelphia Market?
It's the Philadelphia Market. It's called... I can't remember. It's something like South Terminus Market or something like that. Okay. But that's not right. And people in Philadelphia will be like, no, it's called this. And you go there. And I think they're called hoagies. And that's a Philly cheesesteak outside of Philadelphia. Oh, I'm getting it all wrong now. Basically, it's like a roll...
Yeah.
A bread bap with a thin bit of steak that's been fried, cheese on top and onions. Sort of thing that it's like renowned.
Oh, that but sounds lovely.
It is nice. Sort of thing that we might get from a small street vendor outside something like a football match. That would be the sort of...
Yes, okay. Or maybe outside GAY. Do you remember that man that used to do the hot dogs?
I do. I never partook of his hot dog.
Partaking in other hot dogs.
I'm going to look that up. Hoagie. I'm going to make sure, because I know people will be annoyed.
Not our audience. They wouldn't be annoyed. Not with us.
No, I know. A submarine sandwich, commonly known as a sub. It's sometimes known as a hoagie, hero, Italian sandwich, or grinder, or a spucky, is a type of cold or hot sandwich made from a cylindrical bread roll split lengthwise and filled with meats, cheeses, vegetables, and condiments. It has many different names. Oh, that's not the same as a Philly cheesesteak, is it? But maybe a Philly cheesesteak is a type of hoagie. Philly cheesesteak, I want you to know, it's a cheesesteak, a sandwich made from thinly sliced pieces of beefsteak, melted cheese, long hoagie roll. Popular regional fast food has roots in the US city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The end.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom.
I just want to get that clear.
Well, I think you've made it very clear. Now, if you want to get in touch, please do. Oh, we're here for recommendations.
Yes.
We're here for life advice.
Yeah.
We're here for your shout-outs. We're citizens very into advice. Your shout-outs.
Yes.
A Citizens Advice Bureau. But if anything is sort of pending legal work, we
don't
can't really get involved in that.
We cannot help you with an unfair dismissal claim. Just to
be no.
But especially if you've been sacked for incanting random words
whilst at your desk at work. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, the cast of Hocus Pocus. Yes.
But if you want to get in touch, please do. The email is hello@likemindedfriendspod.com. And we will be back in your ears next week to talk, I mean, sort of just a load of bollocks, but
there's a lot of things to be covering, a lot of things to be talking about. I feel like we've barely touched the surface, but you know,
but here we are.
Really fancy now, cheese stick. Yes.
May I just quickly do one piece of plugging?
Yes. I don't mind at all.
I'm doing a very small tour at the moment.
Yes.
Of Susie Ruffle and Friends, of me just working out new material with a couple of my friends. Got people like Jen Brister, oh. Jessica Foster Q, oh. Rose Johnson.
Wow.
Maisie Adam. Lots of different friends
Lovely.
Popping in to do sets. And you can find everything at my website, which is susieruffle.com. And then I'm also putting on a charity show for a charity called Young Roots, who are a youth refugee charity, and that's on the 7th of March at the Backyard Comedy Club. It's a really great lineup, and it's raising money for young people that are just in such desperate situations. So if you can come along, please do. The tickets are quite cheap as well. They're about 12 quid, I think. So please come along. Backyard, 7th of March. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
No, don't have to thank me. When you said you were going to do some plugs, I thought you were going to give me a hair transplant.
Well, I've got that's after, but I need to be with you in person for that.
Oh, okay. I never know what plugs are. They're like a sort of firm wig, I think, aren't they?
I think they go into your skull, don't they?
Oh, that sounds painful. I couldn't be doing with that.
No, they move the hair up, don't they?
Well, I think that's what a hair transplant. I still don't know. So many people go and get them done.
But I think a bald man is becoming.
Well, it's becoming something. But. Yes, I suppose.
I think you've got to own it.
Well, I do, don't I?
Oh, yeah. Tom, you couldn't own it more.
I mean, I couldn't own it. I do own it, literally.
You're bald of the year.
No, I'm not. That must be someone like Patrick Stewart, or who would be bald of the year? There are better balds than me.
Oh, I don't think so. You're the best I know.
Stop it. But thank you. Thank
you. Well, we'll be in your ears next week.
We will be all over your ears next week. Thank you so much for listening. And for now, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.